Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, it is a partisan primary election Tuesday in the great state of Wisconsin. But perhaps more importantly, it is the first day of the rest of Donald Trump's life. The day after his Mar-a-Lago home was raided, including the safe.
Not the safe.
Do have a question of the hour, Dom. What was in the safe? Your rampant speculation encouraged here at 844-967-2789. And I've already used naked photos of Ivanka. So that one's already used. That's Crute's statement. But Dom, there's more breaking news. The FBI serving more subpoenas. And who's the lucky recipient today?
Crute, I found this one. My noticed. FoxNews.com, you know that site. They said today, Republican Rep. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania says that the FBI has confiscated his cell phone.
Wasn't he supposed to be on the January 6th panel?
That's one of them that, McCarthy wanted?
Well, Pelosi rejected, and therefore he took all his picks and went home, right?
This morning, while traveling with my family, three FBI agents visited me and seized my cell phone. They made no attempt to contact my lawyer, who would have made arrangements for them to have my phone if that was their wish. I am outraged, though not surprised, that the FBI, under the direction of Merrick Garland's DOJ, would seize the phone of a sitting member of Congress. It's funny how they just kind of skip over the Christopher Wray part, right? You know, that FBI under
Trump Merrick appointed right. After he fired James Comey to relieve the pressure, if I recall it.
Yes. Like
fired Comey? Rusher.
Yeah, release that pressure. My phone contains info about my legislative and political activities and personal/private discussions with my wife, family, constituents, and friends. None of this is the government's business.
Is he saying he's got pictures of his junk on his phone?
He asserted in his statement that, as with President Trump last night, DOJ chose this unnecessary and aggressive action instead of simply contacting my attorneys. These kinds of banana republic tactics should concern every citizen, especially considering the decision before Congress this week to hire 87,000 new IRS agents to further persecute law-abiding citizens. Well, I mean, if you're cheating on your taxes, you're really not a law-abiding citizen, but I digress.
Didn't Kevin McCarthy said something to the effect his first gut reaction after Mar-a-Lago raided by the FBI was say, Merrick Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar. I mean, I paraphrase, but something to that effect.
Yes, that's right? Exactly what he said. Yeah.
Well, Dom, I don't know if you noticed Alexandria Petrie over at the Washington Post has a little column today. Dystopian nightmare. FBI obtains warrant. Conduct search.
What?
Let me read a little beyond the start.
That's a banana republic.
This is the kind of thing that could only happen in countries run by tin pot dictators. Conservatives fumed on Twitter upon seeing that the FBI had searched former President Donald Trump's Florida home. Here's the quote. If this is what they're able to do to the former president of the United States, think about what they could do to you.
Yeah,
Laura pretty much Trump warned on Fox News.
Anybody who, you know, gets a warrant against them signed by a judge and executed by the FBI, that happens to everybody if that's the case. And it's kind of like, you know, what do they say? No one's above the law? Okay, that's right.
Dominic, it's true. If this is what investigators will do to the former president of the United States, follow all the steps to obtain a warrant from a judge to search his home for documents that they and the judge believed probable cause suggested were there, then leave without arresting anybody. imagine what they'll do to you. You might also have to deal with a search warrant from a judge. You too might receive due process when suspected of committing a crime.
Oh, no.
Imagine the next time it appears that you have run afoul of the Presidential Records Act by taking classified documents home, the FBI will obtain a warrant from a judge to come to your combined residence and country club to search your safe with cooperation from the Secret Service, right? Mm. They're the Trumpsters. You know he's got nothing but the loyalist on his post-presidential detail. A little bit more from Petrie. There are millions of Americans out there right now reasonably saying to themselves, all this time, I've been storing classified materials pertaining to the office of the president, some too classified even to be described, which sounds like a cone, and I thought was my right as an average citizen, and now I see what kind of hellscape I'm living in, one where the former president is subject to laws, just as I, an average citizen, am subject to laws.
Crudy, it is a well-known fact that federal law enforcement exists solely to make miserable the lives of civil rights leaders, to bury in a deep hole all the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh, and to instill and to investigate Hillary Clinton, root of all evil. What it is not for is this. Next, you are going to tell me that somebody tries to keep themselves in power by force, they ought to face the consequences for it. Well, may the Republican congressional minority rend its garments and wail. Well, may the House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy threaten retribution. What are we going to do when law enforcement agencies enforce the law against the president? Against average citizens, sure. Against troublemakers, an ill-defined category that I refer you to Trump speeches to better understand naturally. But against our God King, our cherished former president? A state governed by laws is no state for me. I want a state where some people are above the law and some people are below the law. I wanted one where Trump specifically was above the law and also got to use the apparatus of the state to harass his political opponents. That is apolitical and just. This is just awful. No former president is safe, tweeted Matt Gaetz. Too true. Too true. John Adams, sitting there on his trove of documents. Benjamin Harrison, inciting all those insurrections. William Henry Harrison being there. Any one of us could become a former president if we play our cards wrong, and we must first ask ourselves. If the most powerful are not above the law, who can be? Is anyone? Shouldn't someone be?
I like her clever snarkiness. She is the daughter of former congressman from Wisconsin, Tom Petrie, my understanding.
Oh, that's some funny stuff right there. And it's literally like these maggots are just freaking the F out.
Well, you know, pre-dawn paramilitary raids only happen on cops, right, Tom? 844-967-2789. And now Scott Perry's phone. Robert from West Ellis. Welcome, Robert. What do you got for us?
Hey, Robert.
Don't you just love the shock and indignation? Oh my God, how did this happen? You know what else happens in Banana Republic? People try coup attempts to overthrow the government. You know, we've seen the Secret Service has deleted text messages. There's messages and information missing, call logs, stuff missing from the Pentagon. I just hope that they're going to do something similar with the other people that were involved.
I don't know what happened to you, Robert. I think we're losing you. One more try.
I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I just hope that, you know, some of these other people that were involved with January 6th and planning it, that they actually get a hold of their phones. I think they're probably erasing stuff furiously, trying to get rid of evidence at this point, now that they realize there might be some accountability.
Well, I would hope that Matt Gaetz has the common sense to get a couple of burners. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure he Venmo paid, like, you know, underage sex workers and tuition? Said it was for college. You know what I mean? That totally, I mean, if that doesn't work, if that subterfuge does not work, if that sleight of hand, I mean, what's he going to do? Use cash next time?
Smart Johns do. 844. I've heard. 844-967-2789. Jake from Milwaukee. Welcome back, Jake. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jake.
Wait, hold on.
What's in the safe, Jake?
a golden cheeseburger that he got from Putin. So it wasn't a golden showers. It was golden cheeseburgers. That's what I think.
I misunderstood the whole time. What was your thought, Jake? Or was it golden cheeseburgers?
Yeah, it was golden cheeseburgers.
All right,
thanks. I'm having connection issues. See you guys later.
Right on, man. Well, our buddy Jeff on the Facebook, at the Devil's Advocates Radio, he says, what's in the safe? The blackmail videos from Epstein.
Ooh.
Now, of course, you know, if the FBI executes a legal search warrant and comes across, you know, I don't know, call it evidence of other crimes beyond the purview of the initial search warrant, they absolutely have the right to, you know, check into that. So that should be
interesting
as well.
You remember when they seized Michael Cohen's stuff? They actually got a secondary search warrant. They got the initial search warrant, then they went back, got a better search warrant, and they took everything. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, what do you think was in the safe, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Other than a ball gag.
Could be that. Could be some other, you know, some Russian evidence that copies of what the Russians had on Donald Trump. And but what I get a kick out of is these Republicans whining about the rule of law being actually done. I mean, it's just. I mean, both Michaels and Rebecca Clefish, they should be asked that question. What do you have against them actually enforcing the Constitution of the United States on the President of the United States?
Well, that's where you draw the line. It's when it happens to their guy. I mean, they're fine if it's a cops episode and it's some drug dealer kick in the door, use the flash bomb. So what if it's Breonna Taylor's house? You know, some people get killed indiscriminately. But if it happens to a white politician... Oh, my God, the vapors.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they used false information to get that warrant, apparently, the Breonna Taylor one.
Does that shock you, Mark?
No.
Appreciate you.
No. Listening. Yeah, yeah.
844-967-2789.
If they had any shame, the hypocrisy would shame them. But they don't, so it won't.
It is a partisan primary election day in both the great state of Wisconsin, also Minnesota. AM 950 listeners, join the political party. We'll be right back. More Devil's Advocates.
We have searched every square inch of this base, and all we have found is porno. Porno!
Oh,
porno!
God! Oh, God! Oh, my God!
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Join us at 844-967-2789. Crudy just keeps piling on the Trumpsters. Reuters is also reporting today that a U.S. House of Representatives committee has the right to see former President Trump's tax returns. A federal appeals court ruled on Tuesday rejecting
after the audit. I'll release the taxes.
Rejecting
after
his
the
claims
audit.
That the request was invalid because it was politically motivated. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit ruled against the Republican former president, saying the committee's request was justified as part of its legislative work. The Democratic-led, don't want to be like the Republicans, House Ways and Means Committee said it expects to receive the tax records immediately. The court found that the committee's request did not violate separation of powers principles under the U.S. Constitution and that the decision by President Joe Biden's administration to provide Trump's tax returns to Congress did not infringe upon Trump's free speech rights. A quote. While it is possible that Congress may attempt to threaten the sitting president with an invasive request after leaving office, every president takes office knowing that he will be subject to the same laws as all other citizens upon leaving office. This is a feature of our democratic republic, not a bug. That's how it's supposed to be, people. So, poor guy, all his taxes are going over to Congress now.
Now, there's still the right of appeal, Dom. All the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'd like to make an early prediction. 7-2. If they took up the case, which I don't think they would do, but Alito and Thomas with the president all the others against the president. You know, Eastman did some predictive math. Here's his 7-2.
Yeah, right. You kidding me? 9-0. We're going to lose. But do it anyway, because, you know, what the hell? You can pardon me. We'll just, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. What's the worst that could happen?
Dom, do you honestly think they raided the man's house in Mar-a-Lago? And I don't care. You know, I mean, suck it, Trump is kind of my attitude.
No, suck it, Trump, suck it, Republicans. Yeah.
Would wonder, is this all about presidential record preservation? It cannot be about the archives, because they went and got Scott Perry's phone today. Scott Perry's got nothing to do with archived documents, presumably, right? I mean, he's not sticking them in the storage unit.
There's lots of investigations going on, right?
Storage unit.
There's multiple investigations going on.
You don't see correlation between the raid on Mar-a-Lago yesterday
at some point,
and the seizing of the phone today?
I mean, but sure, day. I mean, these things continue to happen, man. I mean, this is the evolution. When you have multiple cases in multiple jurisdictions, you know, on multiple issues, there very well could be some crossover, especially when a conspiracy is involved. Now, I don't want to make light of the fact that Donald Trump apparently had such secret documents that we can't even be told how they're described, right? If that is the case, that's extremely problematic. Why would the ex-president keep these documents knowing he's not supposed to have them? One, to blackmail somebody. Two, to make some money. That's probably the case. Or three, to try to hold something over this country, right? I mean, there's a few options. Why would he do that? So these are very problematic. This is a very real problem. So it's not just a matter of someone took a file and there's a few pieces of paper and, oh yeah, so what? And maybe he forgot to, you know, declassify him before he left. No, hell to the no, because you and I don't get to get away with that. And we don't even get access to this kind of stuff. And if we did, I certainly wouldn't be, you know, taking it down to Mar-a-Lago. So that in and of itself is a very real problem. And if he did such a thing, I would imagine all the Republicans should stand up and say our national security is at utmost importance. And a president who does not have the legal ability to take these documents should pay the price for that. I don't see why that's a problem.
You think they care about some paperwork? All right.
So then the other thing is, well, maybe this was just they went at it to get inside the house, right? They use this as an excuse to go poke around.
But the judge isn't going to allow them to go to the former president's house on a fishing expedition.
No, I'm not saying they did. But you can obviously there's enough evidence to do that, but of course, there's other reasons. Come on, man. There's so many things against this guy. You just pick one, find the evidence, show it to the judge. If he agrees or she agrees, then you go downtown. And if that's the case, then you also poke around and see what's what. I mean, I know that if you're in the room, they go in there, someone's hogtied, you know, in a sex dungeon. They're not going to go back and get another warrant. They're going to release them. They're going to, you know, this is going to be
an Eric in Bedminster.
they're going to address the obvious criminality when executing a warrant on another issue.
Sure, but they aren't going to seek to execute a warrant against the former president purely on a fishing expedition. There had to be probable cause, and it better be damn good to convince a judge that you're going to go search the former president's house.
Yes,
I would say there was a higher level of scrutiny on this warrant than probably any other warrant that hit the desk.
It's never happened before. I mean, Trump was right about one thing. It's never happened. Well, we've never had a criminal POS in office to the degree that you have taken it to, Donald Trump.
You know, I've got a statement from Nancy Pelosi. Here's what she said today. And she's being a little, you know, rhetorically sly. Raw Story asked Pelosi about the attacks that Republicans are making on Attorney General Merrick Garland, who has been infamously independent, methodical, and slow when it comes to dealing with those in power who may have been involved in the attempt to overthrow the 2020 election. Pelosi, what would you expect them to say? Pelosi asked rhetorically. The FBI director was appointed by Donald Trump, and so they're going after the FBI with a director that was appointed by Donald Trump. But on the other hand, facts are truth. Facts in law. That's what it's about. I mean, we were all surprised. Everybody was surprised by last night. And it's amazing how it consumed all the air and oxygen around him as we're trying to pass legislation. So anyways, Nancy Pelosi being a little snarky today. You know, she's got to have a little grin on her face. Little one of these where you went to the State of the Union clap. I mean, I think she had to be giving the FBI one of these today. Good job, boys and girls. Good job. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. It's a partisan primary Tuesday in both Wisconsin and Minnesota. But the question of the day. What was in the safe? 844-967-2789. Your rampant speculation encouraged on this topic.
And we can all look in a mirror, find some blame somewhere.
We ain't found s***.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal. Only politics.
Oh, man, I had a rough day and I hate the... Oh, you know what
I'm... I just want to confirm it was indeed the Eagles before I made any profane comments at our producer. I've been doing a fine job here in the world headquarters, lightly screening the calls at 844-967-2789. Let's go back there. Jeff from Madison, what do you got for us?
All right.
Hey, Jeff.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
What was in the safe, Jeff?
I'm going straight to the Epstein tapes. But I do have I got an issue with Dom. You know, he said that, you know, if the FBI broke into Mar-a-Lago and they saw somebody, you know, bound up in the dungeon, that they would free him. You know, what if that was an adult and it was consensual? You're really going to let him go?
Well, certainly, if that were to be the case. I mean, the GIMP certainly seemed like he enjoyed being in tied up with the zipper closed. But, I mean, generally speaking, my point being, Jeff, and thank you for the clarification, certainly if there is obvious crimes, if they walk into a place and they're packaging, you know, cocaine, they're not just going to say, oh, we don't have a warrant for this. Carry on, we'll come back. You know, you're going to have to address the obvious criminality if it's right in front of your face.
Well, yeah, that's where I was going. I just, you know, don't want anybody to be concerned that their sex dungeon is going to get raided this afternoon.
Oh, no, no doubt. And if you're into sex dungeons and you're, you know, consensual for it and you're down and that's how you get your groove on, I'm not judging. I'm not saying certainly you have the right to engage in whatever consensual behavior that you and other adults choose to do.
Hey, my kid's in the building. Let's stop talking about the sex dungeons. The kids don't even know it exists.
Can I
change the locks?
Real quick?
Yeah, man.
What's that, Jeff?
You know, we went and voted right before lunch today, and, you know, the numbers were really low. I think I was like 159, 160 on the machine. That's just really sad.
Is that out
people
in the...
need to get up and get out there.
Are you in the Mount Horeb area, Jeff, or Madison?
No, I'm in Madison.
Now, that seems like a low number, unless you're talking like 703 you went and voted. A low number.
Yeah, it was a little bit before noon, and I was kind of shocked that it was that low. So I'm not really
before
holding my
noon,
breath.
That's, you know, that is a shockingly low number, seemingly, Jeff. And I would say the unfortunately, I don't think the Democrats did themselves any favors when the whole field sort of coalesced around Mandela Barnes. I mean, I'm sure the Barnes team, I'm sure Corey Koslowski had to be ecstatic. But if you weren't the actual candidate, if you're looking for what's in the best interest of the electorate, doing sort of a, you know, a dry run, getting ready for the fall election, seeing if your machines, if your volunteers, if your team's ready, and then what's the incentive to turn out today? I mean, I was joking in hour number one, you know, I was having a little fun on my ballot because, you know, there was no drama. There's nothing really for me to decide at this late hour. Yeah, considered voting Republican, Jeff.
Yes, so did I, but I just couldn't pull the lever for them.
It does feel quite dirty, Jeff. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Thanks for the call, Jeff.
You're in the 63rd Assembly District, and you're considerate of voting for Adam Steen.
Trump's favorite.
Joining Trump and Gableman and endorsing the opponent to Robin Voss and the... I guess partisan primary, the Republican partisan primary, the 63rd. And let's not forget, Robin Voss only got like 3,000 votes in the primary last time around. There were like 30,000 votes in the general. So there's enough eligible voters. You know, 1,500 votes could sway that election. I'm just saying, do the wrong thing for all the right reasons.
844.
There's nothing wrong. It's not an illegal act. You can. It's an open primary. You don't have to.
Well, you can't cross the streams, though, man. I mean, if you're going
to
do it. It's never
a good idea to cross the streams.
Well, until it is, but you literally can't. It's a partisan primary. You have to pick one side and vote on that side. You can't do one here, one there, which I also find, why is it that way? Why not have an open primary? If you happen to like a couple of candidates from different parties, why not? But this is how it is here. So if you're going to play Crudy's games.
Kristen Sinema got elected in Arizona.
If you're going to play Crudy's games, you have to stay on the Republican side.
Yeah, only get one column. But that'd be the fun side. I mean, that's where the fun's at. That's the partisan political gubernatorial primary. Of course, you could cast a ballot for Ram Jam, Dom's favorite.
Oh, my God.
You know, I had a friend ask me today, and I don't know if he's a Democrat or a Republican, but he asked me. He's like, you know, I'd like to vote Democrat, but it's kind of decided. So I guess I'm going to go vote Republican. I think he sees himself as something of a political independent. He said, because I find Tim Michaels so distasteful, I just got to go vote against him. I said, don't worry. You'll have an opportunity in the fall. I think and we're doing extended coverage. I'm expecting, and I hope the mouth works because it's going to be quite late this evening. I think we're going to go late into the evening, and it could be a margin of like 10,000 votes.
Talking about the Republican gubernatorial side. Yeah.
Yeah. That and Peter Pekarsky with my support could rock the world and come from behind from like 80 points behind and win the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. Probably won't happen, but you know what Ron Johnson say? Anything's possible. Although I would have to call a rigged election for that to happen. But the Adam Steen thing, I think theoretically, numerically, you know, with enough dissidents and, you know, enough anger on the Republican side, they could literally eat their own leader.
Or at least one of them. It's almost like, I mean, I don't know if it's me, but tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me, given all the circumstances and what's happening, that the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin is in disarray. 844-967-2789. Andy from Beaver Dam, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Andy.
Well, I'm not going to worry about Robin Voss, but who should our Republican friends, in order to have somebody that Tony can beat, who should they vote for? Or who should?
Oh, it'd have to be Ram Jam. I mean, he plays... You know, well in the primaries, but I cannot imagine Ram Jam getting more than about 10% of the vote in a general. He would disillusion Republicans, some of them.
I don't know, Andy. I mean, abrasive. Certainly the polling has Ram Jam lowest of all the Republicans at this point. But, you know, they coalesce around their own, man. And now you see the quote-unquote political persecution of Donald Trump. And this has never happened before. And, you know, they're calling lock and load civil war. Some of the social media stuff is exactly what you would expect it to be. So, yeah, I think he would, if Ram Jam got it, now he's the weaker of the three. But if he got it, he'd get more than 10%, Andy. But I don't think he'd win.
Well, I'm saying, I'm sorry about Ram Jam. I'm saying Rebecca versus good old Tim. Who would we want that would be the most beatable?
I think Rebecca Clayfish. I think she'd be less inspiring to Republicans. I think the Trump endorsement and the contrast, just the size, the physical vitality of Michaels relative to Tony Evers.
He's a man. He's a man. He built brawn. He built the Eiffel Tower out of steel. He's a man, is what Crudy's exactly saying. For the Republican side.
And a veteran and a paternalistic feature, and he's a loud talker, so they like that as well. I think it would be Michaels. I mean, the polling, if you believe the polling that was released earlier today, it's within a half a point between Michaels and Clayfish. It's really going to come down to where the votes drop. If she can turn out the wow counties, then Rebecca Clayfish will be the nominee. And if she does not, if she cannot get over votes in Waukesha, Washington, and Ozaukee counties, then Tim Michaels, he's going to overwhelm outstate, Andy. People have no idea. I mean, I keep telling you, but it has been filthy with Tim Michael ads all over the state on the radio where people outstate go to for their news.
I saw that the AP reported Michael's put $12 million of his own money into this campaign, Andy.
Oh, God. Well, I don't know, the pipeline company's going to have to make more money to make up the balance that he's spending off the election here. I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong, Andy. Maybe you know, the independents would find the policy chops of Rebecca Clayfish more palatable. But I think when you factor in issues like Roe v. Wade, I cannot see any of these Republicans defeating Evers. And I don't think Evers is an overly strong candidate. I don't see any sort of red wave coming. Evers has got decent approval ratings from the electorate. And I think the vast majority of Wisconsinites that are paying attention, they know that if Evers is not moving an agenda, it's really because Republicans won't let him.
Right.
Legalized pot, Tony. he doesn't have the power. Except through the budget.
I'll be listening to the coverage tonight on the radio.
Oh, we'll be going late. I'm not sure what time the booze is coming out of the cabinet, but
I'm going to crack. You better wait a while, man.
At least it won't be so damn hot anyway. You won't have to head to the bar because of the heat.
It won't be a Trump rally, Andy, that's for sure. Hey, thanks for the call, man. I always appreciate
it. The word of tonight's primaries, sweaty. No, I guess that was the Trump rally. You know, I'm going to have some fine co-pilots here tonight, Dom. I don't need you. Nobody needs you. No, I've got Pat Kreitlow. He, of course, has been doing the Up North News product for us. And if you live in the Wausau market, or if you particularly like Good Morning Host, Pat does our 8 to 11 product on Bull Falls Radio. Pat's going to join me at 8 o'clock tonight. We will be joined by Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin, about 8:45. We would expect the U.S. Senate race will have been declared by the media at that time, and probably will have heard some live coverage from our friend Earl Ingram, who does a damn fine morning show in Milwaukee in his own regard, for WAUK. He's going to be at the Mandela Barnes headquarters for our coverage this evening. And then in hour number two, Kristen Price is going to join me. She'll be my co-host for the hour. And then hour three, Vegas Joe Sapecki. Joe's joining at 10. So Joe's going to, you know, hopefully stick around all the way until the Republican gubernatorial race is decided. And if it goes too late, you know, I'll get tired and go to bed.
Now, Crudy,
read the paper.
Only one Republican will win. Will the other two claim that it was a rigged election, that it was fraud, that
votes were stolen?
I sure hope so.
You
know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the go-to now. Whoever loses, it's rigged. If you win, it's exactly how we wanted it to be.
Recount. I'm going to need a cyber audit of the partisan primary outcome. And, you know, I'll give you like 8 weeks to work it out.
It's going to cost millions of dollars. But I'm down. I'll be happy to do it for you. But you got to pay up front.
Is Kanye on the ballot tonight?
I don't think so.
Anyways, looking forward to it. 844-967-2789. I don't even need the screen. Wisco Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Yeah, when I went up to vote today, I was a little worried about the voting machines, but they assured me everything was okay, so I went ahead and voted. I wonder if the... you know, it's an amazing thing.
Hang on, Paul. What do you mean by that? Hang on. You were concerned about the voting machines. Why?
I wasn't. I was just joking.
Oh, you're joking. All right. I was going to say, did not take your ballot right away? I mean, what are you talking about?
Did the ghost of Hugo Chavez meet you at the Dominion machine there today,
Paul? It must have been the ghost. I could smell the sulfur in the air, Paulie.
Well, I just was giving the poll workers a hard time is all. And then I thanked them, you know, for taking my joke. But hey, at any rate, I think Rebecca wins tonight because my understanding is the farmers really like her. Of course, that's hard to say. But I did vote for Pekarsky because he does ads on your radio. So,
Well, that makes two of us, Paul.
Yeah, well, that's...
But by 8:45, I'm going to be telling you all about the fine candidate for the general election that Mandela Barnes makes.
That's a foregone conclusion. So anyway, I'll be listening to your show tonight. Thanks for what you do, guys.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for listening. Bring the spotted cows. 844-967-2789. One last segment for this fine program, but live coverage going all night, starting when the polls close at 8.
No matter what you hear in there, no matter how cruelly I beg you, do not open this door.
FBI, open up!
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of this historic day. Give us a call if you got something to say at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've got something to say. A little update on the headline from yesterday, Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, that's right.
He's compelled to testify in a Georgia proceeding, apparently about the trying to persuade the election.
11,480 votes.
11,700.
Oh,
one more than I've got. That's what Trump said. And Lindsey Graham, he's all caught up, as is Rudy Giuliani. But Rudy, despite the fact there are some recent travel photos from New Hampshire, you know, he kind of got outed. He told the judge he couldn't travel. Couldn't get on a plane. So the prosecutor said, we don't care. We'll get you a bus ticket. And the Georgia judge has given Rudy Giuliani 1 week to make the 13-hour drive to testify. They expect Rudy to show up. Let me give you just a little of the details from the Raw story, Dom. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney ruled to temporarily delay Rudy Giuliani's testimony to a special grand jury. In the court hearing on Tuesday, McBurney heard arguments that Giuliani's doctor had ordered him not to fly. Giuliani has been asked to speak to a special grand jury investigating whether former President Donald Trump interfered in Georgia's 2020 presidential election. He did. A little bit more from the reporting. Here's a quote. If it turns out that Mr. Giuliani is willfully disregarding the now formal invitation to be here, that's problematic. McBurney, again, he's the judge, told Giuliani's attorney, if that's not the situation, then we need to establish when he'll be here. And there's lots of ways to make that happen. Dog sled, carrier pigeon. In the end, the judge said he expected Giuliani to be at Georgia by August 17th, noting it's only a 13-hour drive from New York. I'm sure he can find a way short of Greyhound that can get him to Atlanta, McBurney remarked. Prosecutors previously offered to arrange bus or train travel for Giuliani. Dom, I drove to Tennessee last year. That was about 13 hours.
Did you do it in one day or did you take a break?
One day on the way back. 2 days on the way down, Indy, and then on to Tennessee. But on the way back, even my boys were like, no, Dad, let's get home.
Hit the road, man. Right.
13 hours straight through. I think we might have stopped to pee twice, something like that.
Got to gas up here.
I did. You know, it's funny because my pal Sage, who drives a Tesla, big shot, is traveled east with the family this week. And I said, I bet you didn't take the Tesla. No, they had to rent a minivan. I'm thinking he looks very sporty out there on the East Coast.
Well, battery charging is a thing.
Yeah. Would you want to do it every state if you're driving cross country?
Yeah, no.
No, no. You can get a plug-in hybrid, maybe. Something like that. Gas.
Well, it's still going to charge. I mean, you gas up in 4 minutes. A plug, even if you have a 220, it's still going to take you an hour, maybe two,
hey,
to get a full charge.
Hey, stop giving me the Trump treatment. I don't want to be distracted. I've got a question of you, Selvia.
Oh, what's that?
Who are you voting for? I know, you know, private ballot and all, but we tell each other secrets on the radio.
Well, I'm voting for Mandela, man. I mean, of course, I'm voting for Mandela Barnes for Senate.
Bandwagon jumper.
Fuck. Really? I'm not a single issue voter, Crudy. So, no, I'm voting for Mandela, man. He's the one.
You know, when I started noting the momentum that Mandela had, did you notice how quick the field folded?
That was after the Wiz Dems, right? That was after the convention.
After the DPW. And yeah. I had noted, I didn't think Lasry had sparked the room with his speech. I thought Tom Nelson had a hell of a speech, but obviously didn't have any money to back it up. I still got the beer. I bet you I drank Tom Nelson. I'm going to put Tom Nelson's prop beer. It's a Spotted Cow. I'm putting it in the fridge. So it's cold for like 8:07 p.m. when they announce who the Senate winner is. But I'm a little disappointed, man. I wanted this to be an exciting primary night. This is our big night. This is when all the enthusiasm happens in the electoral cycle.
Well, I mean, it'll still be exciting to see who Mandela will go up against. That's always exciting to see. To see who the other Tony Evers will go up against.
Will be fun.
Yeah, I get it, and I can appreciate, you know, the volunteers and those that, you know, engage and help those candidates that pursue their dreams and to try to get elected to run against Ron Johnson. I totally get that, but I'm not disappointed, man. It is what it is. A stronger candidate won out. Okay, that's going to be it. And the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has put their stamp of approval on Mandela Barnes. He's going to be
the stronger candidate, won out before a single vote was cast.
He was leading in the polls. He never, ever trailed in the polls. Is that the stronger or the weaker? Okay, I mean, if you want me to define it for you, man, I mean, come on, man. What are you talking about? Who was he was not the strongest candidate?
The voters define who is the strongest candidate.
Well,
ultimately,
until the votes are cast, then it's the polling.
That's
and what the
disappointing
polling
part. You never gave the voters a chance to express their will. It's not that I'm disappointed in Mandela. I love Mandela as a candidate. Can't wait to embrace Mandela at about 8:08. PM Central Time. Love you, Mandela. Because I do love Mandela, and I have no qualms backing him in the general against Ron Johnson, although I would encourage his team to, you know, consider the air support we can offer here on Lefty Talk Radio. But no qualms with the candidate. A little qualm with the fact that even primary elections, partisan primaries, are engaging for the electorate. I want to be excited today. It's a sprint from here to November 8th. Really, it is. I mean, the kids don't pay attention because you're still dealing with vacations. I mean, my partner's on vacation. I'm taking a couple days. You're still working vacations into your schedules at this stage of the summer. And then the kids kick in. Well, some are already playing football. The high school football season kicks in and school kicks in. And Labor Day, of course, is the unofficial end of summer. Dom will still wear white, but, you know, some people are gauche. But anyways, that's when the people will especially be tuned in. But right now, it's starting to sprint down. Right now is the silly season from here. I mean, last night, trying to watch the news, there were like 10 commercials for politics in every commercial break.
Yeah, I look forward to that being continued for the next several months. But so walk me through this. I know we've got a couple of minutes left. So if everybody stayed in, I mean, Nelson didn't have it. You know, Lasry either had to go put millions more in to make a shot. And Godlewski, you know, once Nelson got out,
I just say that Godlewski would have given. I mean, Godlewski would have made it interesting just with the dynamic, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, as the last female, only female candidate in the field. The fact that she bailed. If people were looking for a way to express their outrage at the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and they were looking for a female personification of that rage, she could have delivered that candidacy for them. And instead, it's Peter Bukarski. Go get him, Peter.
How many more millions would she have to put in? And Lasry. And Tom didn't have it.
You don't know. That's what they said about Kansas. That's why you tune in to the special coverage starting when the polls close. Thank you all for listening. I'm doing it like 4 more hours. Dom will check in with you tomorrow.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
You are so money and you don't even know it.